I have chosen to speak on the topic of being thankful. Thank you. And hopefully, my voice will not give me any problems. It's fighting a little bit of a cold this week, and so it's at times been somewhat shaky. But it's been better the last 2 days. So, but as we came through Thanksgiving, I was thinking of, you know, what does it mean to be thankful? And the title to my sermon this morning is called "Look at the Donut." So I have this morning one donut. You like donuts? Me too. When you look at the donut, if I was to give you this donut, what would you think about? Would you just eat it and be thankful that you had it? Well, I mean, there's lots to be said about this donut. It's a Krispy Kreme donut, so that's a good thing. It's one of the better donuts. It's just a simply glazed donut, which is a good thing. No sprinkles on it to mess it up. But it's just a donut. But so many times in life, we look at life, and we don't see this donut. You know, this is a donut. I mean, it's round with a hole in the middle. That's a donut. But so many times in life, we look at that center part, and we don't look at what we have. We look at what's missing. And what's missing in here? The hole. There's no hole there. I mean, there's no donut there. Somebody took it out. Where's my donut hole at? You know, in life, we don't look at what we have. I've got a donut here. It's good. It's a good donut. We look at what we don't have. We look at, where's my donut hole at? Where's that thing at there? So I found a little saying that goes with that. It says, as you go through life, make this your goal. Look at the donut and not at the hole. So as you go through life, make this your goal. Look at the donut and not the hole. So many times in life, we look at what we don't have. And that brings unthankfulness. We look around us at what others do have. I should have thought this through better. I just want to lick my finger, but I won't do that. You know, when we look around, you know, we see maybe someone else who has something we don't have. You know, I was reading of LSU's coach. He got fired mid-season, and he finished out the year. And last night was his last game, and he's not coaching anymore. He gets a buyout, $17 million buyout. So they're paying him $17 million not to coach anymore. And it's easy to look at that and say, wow, what could I do with $17 million? I would never coach again. You know, why would you deal with that? But it's not what I have. It's not what I have. You can't look at that. You can't focus on those things. It will make you ungrateful, unthankful for what you have. And as we look at Scripture in Genesis, chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, is the first account of someone looking at something that they couldn't have, that they weren't supposed to have. Eve. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. They had this beautiful garden of Eden. anything they wanted. They had all the trees in the whole garden, except one. They were told they couldn't eat of it. It says, but of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden God had said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Eve was not thankful for the whole garden that she had. She had a whole garden. She could have eaten anything she wanted to out of that garden, except for that one thing. But that one thing that she could not have is what she wanted to eat, what she was tempted to eat and what she ate. Says she was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She thought she wanted to be wise, so she took of it and ate. And then we have the Israelites. We know the Israelites, how they grumbled and complained. And we know how they came out of Egypt, and how horrible it was in Egypt. They were slaves, and they could be killed at any point for not performing like they should, like the Egyptians wanted them to. And so they escaped. Numbers 11 says, now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. And the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberath, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. So the people were complaining about whatever it may be. They were complaining about something. It doesn't say what they were complaining about. And the Lord brought fire down. And it burned, said it burned among them and consumed them. And Moses prayed and the fire stopped. That was verse 3. Then verse 4 says, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? So they started complaining again. They wanted meat to eat. We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Wow, they really had it nice in Egypt. They had all the fish that they ate so freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. Wow, they really had it great. How many times do we do that in our lives? We look back and we say, man, I really had it great then. But they were living in slavery. They were captives. They had no freedom. God had rescued them and saved them. And yet they grumbled against him. I think part of our human nature is to look around us and to see people who are better off than what we are. People who have something that we don't have. It's so easy to do, to look at someone else and say, man, if I just had what they had. Never mind that there's thousands of people who look up to us and say, man, if I just had what he had, I could do so much more, or I'd be so much better off. But it's our human desire to want more, to be unthankful. And in Exodus, when the one time the Moses that they grumbled, chapter 16, verse 8 says, also Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. When we complain, the children of Israel, when they complained, it wasn't like they were complaining so much against Moses as they were complaining against the Lord. And when we complain, we do the same thing. We complain against the Lord. Lord, why couldn't I have been from that family? They've got lots of money. How great do we have it, the families that we're raised in? Situations that we have. You read about it all the time. There was a guy shot, and to read the story was so confusing because he was shot by his wife's ex-boyfriend, ex-husband or ex-boyfriend or something. I'm not sure what it was. It was so confusing to read the story because it was just a mixed up, horrible situation. They were fighting over a custody battle. And the guy ended up getting shot and dying. And it's like, we're so blessed. We have families. We don't have that mess that so many people have. And yet, we think money is so much better than what we have. We look around us, and we want more. We're blessed. In Romans, it talks about people who are not thankful. Romans 1, 18 to 25 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." So these people have known what God is. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." We can see God all around us. We can see him in the trees, in nature, in the earth. "So his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their hearts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness, in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves." Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. These people who knew who God was, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. They were not thankful to God for all he had done. And one thing I heard this week as I was listening to the radio, and I'm not even sure where I heard it from. But it talked about giving thanks. Who do we give thanks to? We give thanks to God for his mercies, his blessings, all he's done for us. Maybe we thank somebody else for what they've done for us. But for the most part, the things that we're thankful for come from God. What do atheists, who do they give thanks to? The people that do not believe in God, who do not accept God, who do they give thanks to? Do they even realize that when they celebrate Thanksgiving, they're giving thanks to God? Just a little thought, you know, what is in their mind when they celebrate Thanksgiving? Are they thankful to the government for a day off, for a holiday? Are they thankful for, you know, their freedoms that they have? I don't know. I don't know what that would be like to be like, to not be thankful for to God and to believe in God. Going back to Psalms 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. And we talked about David the last couple weeks in our Sunday school lesson. It's been on David, and it's been on some of David's struggles that he had, some of the things that he'd done wrong. But yet David was a man after God's own heart. And he wrote so many wonderful things in Psalms, and we don't know that David wrote all of them. We know that David was anointed as a king at a young age. He could have been anywhere from 10 to 15 years old at the time. And we know that he didn't become king until he was 30 years old. And a good part of that time he spent running for his life from Saul, because Saul wanted to kill him. But David, through all that, he remained faithful. Through his failures, through his disappointments, whatever it was, he realized who God was, where his mercies came from, where his goodness came from. He realized that those blessings that he had came from God. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." And as you look at those verses, first of all, it says to serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving, with singing. And then verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, he is God." We need to know that God is, that he is God. That he who is he who made us. And not we ourselves. You know, you hear the saying of us, "I'm a self-made man." You know, "I did it all by myself." It's not true. It is God who made us. God gave us the gifts, the talents that we have. We don't get them just because we want them. If that was the case, I'd be 6'3". Well, 3 or 4, something like that. But it's God. God made us who we are, what we are. Why? It says, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And then, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting." And that was something that was talked about in our Sunday school lesson. You know, when David had to choose between those three things that were brought upon him. I think Dwight mentioned it. He had the famine, or be chased by men for 3 months by his enemies, and or to have pestilence come upon the land. And David's reply was, he wants to be done by the hand of the Lord, not by man, because he knew of God's mercies. God is a merciful God. He gives us mercies every morning. The fact that we get up every morning says his mercies are new every morning. It says his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. There's not many accounts in the Bible of thankfulness. But there is one in Luke 17 where it talks about being thankful, someone who is thankful. Luke 17:11-17 says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that they went. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" You know, these 10 men were lepers. And I'm not sure which would be worse in those times, to have been a leper or to have been crippled or blind. Lepers were sent off to live on the outskirts. They weren't allowed to be around people. The only people they were allowed to be around were other lepers. And they would get scraps from people, whatever it might be. They couldn't go out and earn a living. So these 10 men were healed. Only one returned. Only one was thankful. Where were the other 9? It says, "Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Were they so excited that they forgot to say thank you? I don't know, but we know that this one was thankful. He fell at his feet and gave thanks. So what do we have today to be thankful for? in Hebrews 12, verse 28, says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace." The NIV would say, "Let us be thankful, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." We are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. God has set up His kingdom. And one day, when we perish, when we die, and go to heaven, we're going to receive this kingdom which cannot be shaken. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 21, it says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers." So what we have, we were not redeemed with gold, silver. We were not ransomed. You know, I think of those people who are captured in Haiti, and the ransom that they want is they want money, they want gold and silver, they want things to buy their freedom. But verse 19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ." So we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what we had to be thankful for. As a little boy said, I think y'all call him Peanut, but he said he's thankful that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's what we had to be thankful for. With the precious blood of Christ. If you take that other part out, it says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Our faith and our hope are in God because we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot. So much to be thankful for. So much more even than the leper who returned to be thankful. You know, the leper was cleansed from being a leper, and there's some one commentary I read said that he also received salvation. Did the others receive salvation? We don't know. But the leper came back and believed in God and received salvation. That's what we have. We had that hope. And then over to chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We are a chosen generation. We may not have millions and millions of dollars, but we are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. And I don't know what the other translation says, but this says his own special people. We are God's own special people. We are his family. "That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's what God did for us. He made us his own special people. And as I think about being adoption month, that's what Christ did. Verse 10 says, "Who once were not a people." Once we were not a people, but we are now the people of God. That's what you do when you adopt somebody. They weren't part of your family, but guess what? Now they are. Jays have done that. Wesleys have done that. Marks have done that. Many people have done that. Ruby and Ivan have done that with theirs. God has done that with us. He has said, "You know what? I'm going to bring you into my family. I'm going to make you my son, my daughter." You are my own special people. And he loves us. And his mercies are everlasting. We have a lot to be thankful for. Said, we had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Because God redeemed us with the precious blood of Christ, made us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Because of that, we are now the people of God. And through that, we obtain mercy. We have a lot to be thankful for. Why don't we stand for prayer this morning? And I want to say that quote again. As you go through life, make this your goal. Look at the donut, not at the hole. Look at what you have around you. The families that you have. Friends that you have. We have a lot to be thankful for. We are truly a blessed people. We are a blessed people living in a blessed nation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day you've given to us. I ask that you would just be with us now. Father, I pray that you would help us to be thankful. Help us to not look around and see what we do not have, but to look at the things that we do have and to be thankful for what we have. Father, you have truly blessed us with so much. You have given us family and friends and made us a part of you. You have sent us your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that spotless Lamb. You have redeemed us with his blood. And you have made us your own special people. You have made us your family. And we're thankful for that this morning. I just ask that you would just be with us as we go from here. Father, I pray that you would help us to be thankful. And as we go through these next couple weeks, as we go through this Christmas season, Father, there's lots of emphasis put on giving and receiving and getting things. Father, I pray that we would be thankful for what we do have, for what you have blessed us with. Just be with us today. Go with us and keep us. In your name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.